The following program, Around the Town Chicago, your reach to Chicago's vibrant theater and dining experiences, is paid for by Eftikari Law Offices, practicing personal injury law and workers' compensation law for over 20 years. If you've been injured in an accident or on the job, Eftikari Law Office is the answer for you. Well, we're back again for week number, what is this, week number three?
Is almost over.
It goes pretty fast.
It went fast, but I do want to remind you it is 10 degrees right now.
So. Is it really? We're having a heat wave. It's a wonderful, wonderful day.
And I forgot to ask you, are you wearing a coat today?
Yes, I do have a coat. I actually have gloves as well and a scarf. I brought a muffler with me. Not for the car, for me.
If anybody's ever met Al, he dresses very Ivy League, and he always wears just a sports coat and a button shirt. And
well, that's pretty much. Well, normally, I'm pretty good with that.
And that's all you see.
Right. This has been a kind of crazy week. Yeah. Frank even got to go to the theater and write a review. Mm-hmm. So if you go to aroundthetownchicago.com and you look at it, it's called Us Them at Chicago Shakespeare. Frank actually did the review.
And the nice thing is I did it the same night because I know how you're a stickler that everything has to be in by midnight.
Well, so. not by midnight anymore. We have, because of the heart surgery, the doctor did say he wants me to wait till the morning to do it. So I do wait till 8 o'clock in the morning.
And, of course, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm in surgery at the hospital. So I knew I had to do it that night to make you happy.
But we had a pretty hectic week. Jeffrey Liebham wrote a couple for us. So if you check it out, you'll see that he did Evil Dead and the musical, gave it 5 stars, and that's at the Pride Arts over on, I think it's on Broadway. And then he also saw Dada Wolf Papa Heat, or Papa Hot, so that review is up as well, and he gets them to me. I post them, and it's really, really great that I have people out there that are helping me, because 247 plays is pretty much enough to see him in a given time. We did get to both see.
But both of us got to see a great show.
We got to go to Marriott, and we got to see, and I can't say too much because of David being here, but we'll introduce David in a second and explain why. But we did get to go see the Million Dollar Quartet, and this is probably the 8th or 9th time that I've seen it. My biggest fear of seeing was doing it in the round at Marriott. How are they going to show Jerry Lee Lewis playing the piano, jumping over the piano, doing all this crazy stuff? And I will say they did it. They found a way, and they did it with style and with class.
But, you know, in my dream the night before, I actually had a dream about this show at Marriott.
You had a dream.
And I said, the way they're going to do it is because Marriott's theater in the round, and their stage does go up. So I thought that the piano would be lifted up towards the end.
You thought it was the hydraulics and spin?
But they stopped doing it ever since they remodeled the place 2 years ago. I don't see it as often as it used to be.
Yeah, but I think they had another idea with this, and they did.
They
great
did a
job.
Clever idea.
Really, really clever.
And they did a wonderful show. And if nobody's ever seen it, then you need to get down there.
Yeah. And you know that very shortly, if you miss it there, it's going to be in Munster.
Yes.
That's their next show as well. And then Rockford, there's going to be Peter Oyle, our friend Peter, is doing it in Rockford.
So that's 3 times you're going to be able to see it this
and I
year.
Think the Athenaeum is also looking at putting that one on. So
we're going to ask David.
That'll be a million-dollar quartet of plays. So let's talk to our guest this morning, or this afternoon. David is with a group. Everybody knows about Jeff Awards, except they don't know anything about it. They see on things, Jeff nominated, Jeff recommended. What does that mean? So David, who's very involved with you, what is your actual title with
you? Well, I'm right now the chair of the Jeff Awards.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been on for 25 years. Oh, I just got my little plaque for 25 years of service. Yeah,
that's great.
The Jeff Awards is a group of people. There's 55 of us right now that see almost every play that opens up in Chicago.
That's equity and non-equity.
Equity and non-equity. And how it works is on opening night, 5 of those members are sent to a show along with 2 members of what we call the AT team. And these are men and women who are involved in the industry. They may be actors, producers, technicians, whatever. So there are 7 people who go to opening night. We go home and send in our votes on what we thought was excellent in that show. We're not judging the whole show like you guys do. We're just doing elements of the show. Was there excellent acting? Was the scenery excellent? Was the lighting excellent? Whatever. So those 7 members submit their votes. Someone tabulates them in the morning. And then if the show gets enough votes, it is then Jeff recommended.
So do the people have a specific thing or they just
talk in general? Just excellence in general. We have no idea what we're going to vote for or how we're going to vote until we see the show. Some shows don't get any votes because there wasn't an element of excellent in
it. So if somebody's on the Jeff committee and they go to a play, they're watching the overall picture.
Right.
They get home and they go on to a special website.
Right.
And they either liked it or found something that they think is worthy of the next step.
Right. Let's say Susie Smith was an excellent actress in her role. The costumes were excellent, and a supporting actor was excellent. So we submit those 3 names. And then if there are enough total votes, then the show is Jeff recommended. The other 50 members are then can go see the show.
Do they have to go see it in order to vote?
No one has to. We can not see about 25% of the shows that open.
All right. So if, let's say, there's 55 people.
Right.
And a show is Jeff recommended. So 7 people have already gone.
Already went.
So now the rest of the people will go.
Eventually,
yeah.
Okay.
Now, we have a little asterisk to that, is that we have some of our members, for various reasons, are on what we call a rotation. They only, for 1 year, they will see non-equity shows only. Another year, they will see equity shows only and go back and forth. They may be some of our younger members who have careers and beginning families, and they just don't have the time, like you mentioned earlier,
right,
to see all the shows. We have some more mature members, for whatever reason, can't get out every night of the week and going to see a show. So they're on rotation. So overall, about 40 people will actually be eligible to see a show, including the 5 from opening night.
All right. And then they, in turn, eventually vote on whether or not it wins an award.
Right.
Which is our version of, like, New York has the Tony's, so we have
our Jeff Awards. Right. So, and we do not know what the opening night people selected as what they thought were excellent. So when we go in, we're totally unbiased. We have no idea what was voted on opening night. As you know, some shows get better with time. The ensemble clicks and everyone just feels more comfortable and it's a better show. So what was voted on opening night may not end up, you know, 3 weeks later as, and then some shows kind of deteriorate as the show runs on and the energy of opening night isn't there. 3 weeks later, some theater, especially non-equity, we may be sitting in a theater with 6 other people.
Yeah,
the energy isn't there. We try to be as objective as we possibly can, but we only can vote on what we see and hear.
All right. So, people who love theater would like to be a part of this. Maybe they feel, well, I'd love to be involved with theater. I can't act. I can't do anything else. But maybe I do enjoy theater, and I do look for things, and I'm theater savvy. Let's call it.
Right.
How can they get involved?
Okay. Our committee is made up of all different groups of people. We have some who are theater lovers, and they've been going to the theater ever since they were a little kid, and they see everything and they love it. We have some people who are actors and actresses. We have some people who are attorneys for actors and actresses.
Okay.
We have a lot of teachers who taught theater. So there is a large group of diversified interests, but we do have room, and we always are looking for some new people who would be interested in joining the Jeff Committee. here's what it takes. One, a knowledge of theater. Now, it could be a, you know, self-learned knowledge where they've gone to a lot of theater. They can evaluate theater, but they also have to explain why they liked a show. We've all seen people like, oh, how was it? Oh, it was great. What did you like about it? Oh, everything. Well, that isn't what we have to be specific, and you have to be able to say your what your thoughts were. If they're interested in applying on the job, and we have all ages, we have people in their early 20s to some at the other end of the spectrum there, and 65. everything in between.
There is no such thing as getting old.
Well,
just getting better.
Okay.
You know, 70 is the new 40.
Well, yeah. I'm there. I'm celebrating my 40th birthday this year.
All right. Well, welcome to the group.
But you know, I just talked to somebody at work the other day. This one woman. She is loves theater, and I talked to her about the Jeff, but she says the commitment. How many? And I didn't know. And I said, I think it's something like 125 shows a year you have to see. But
it can be that many shows if you're very conscientious and want to go to everything. I signed up for both wings, equity and non-equity. And last year, I saw 234 plays.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of nights sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
We have changed our requirements that for especially young people, like I mentioned before, who are starting careers and families and have other obligations, they can pick the non-equity wing for 1 year, and they may only have to see only 75 to 85 shows. You know, most people don't see that in their lifetime. We see that every year. Or if they're more ambitious and they have a little more time, they can be on the equity wing where it would be about 100 shows a year. And then they switch on and off every other year. So we've lowered the time commitment, which is the number one reason people have to say, I just can't be on the Jeffs.
Of course.
I don't have four nights a week that I can go to a theater. Only crazy people do that.
Right.
You know?
Like us.
And here we are. Here we are. Yeah.
Yeah, all three of us.
All three of us on a Sunday afternoon. You know, we could be at a matinee right now.
Mm-hmm.
We also have different committees. We have a membership committee that interviews potential candidates. We have a PR committee that does press releases and works on social media. So if a member wants to help out in those areas, they can also do that too. I love it. I've been doing it like for 25 years, so obviously there's something
there. There must be something to it.
There's something to it.
Explain to us, to people that might be listening, the difference between non-equity and equity.
Okay, good question. The non-equity is the group of small theaters, storefront theaters, men and women who are baristas during the day or work at a store or at a lawyer's office, whatever they happen to be working, and at night they're doing theater from the heart. They mm-hmm. love that. They love going there, and they'll be in they'll work all day from 9 to 5 and then rehearse from 6 till 10, and this is what they love. The equity theaters are those theaters, the big name theaters, like the Goodman, Steppenwolf, Court, Timeline. These are people who are professionals. This is what they do for a living. They're actors and actresses. The other ones are still doing it because they love doing it. And their goal, in most parts, is to hopefully be an equity actor. You know, the non-equity people, unfortunately, don't get paid. If you go to a non-equity show, very often there's a little speech after the, you know, if you'd like to drop something in the hat on the way out, it'll help all of us, and they can go out for a drink afterwards or something, you know.
I mean, people don't realize the cost it takes to put on a production. Even a non-equity show costs a lot of money.
Yeah. When you start with costumes and sets, and in some cases, if you use musicians, that you have to pay, and if they're union musicians, you have to really pay.
Right. And even the rental of the theaters,
right?
It's very, very expensive. So they're doing it because they love doing it, and whatever donations they get, they're very appreciated. Now, if anyone really would like to join this Jeff Awards and be a part of it, we have interviews three or four times a year. And all they have to do is go to jeffawards.org and hit on membership. And that will tell you exactly where to apply and what you need to do and give you a little more detail about what's required of the Jeff people. But it's open to everybody, all ages, all races. We're wide open. So
yeah, it's a great thing. You know, one of our sponsors, Dan De La Cruz, is on the committee now. Dan is a state farm agent with a couple of offices. Dan has been involved with theater. I want to say because I was his mentor a little bit in his business world. And he knew about me, and I talked about theater all the time, and I gave him some theater tickets, and he started getting really, really involved. And he, a little over a year ago, said,
right,
I want to be involved with the Jeff Committee. I want to do this. And now he's doing it, and I've run into him at some of the plays, and he's having a good time. He's one of these career men. He's got a family. He's got two state farm offices, one in Niles and one in the western suburbs. And in spite of all that, he still is getting to all these plays and doing his job because he loves what he's doing. He knows it's important.
Al, that's the key. We love what we're doing. I was a school principal for my first 11 years on the Jeff Committee. And, you know, be at school from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock or whatever, go home, eat real quickly, jump in the car, and go see a show. What we want to do, our number one goal, is to identify and honor excellence in Chicago theater.
And that's really amazing that we have such great theater here.
It is. And there's so much to choose from. It's amazing. People don't understand the wealth of theater out there. This is the year of Chicago theater, by the way, in the city of Chicago. And one of its goals is to get everyone in Chicago into a theater once this year. Now, that's a big goal, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
But look at how many theaters we have
in
Chicago.
Oh, we have plenty. We could fit everybody in at one time or another.
We are going to work very hard on getting some tickets on a weekly basis to give away. So we gave away some last week.
A few more people.
We're going to keep working at it. We're doing a little bit with restaurants, too. Mm-hmm. Last week, I mentioned something last week. I gave a word out, and the word was Frings, F-R-I-N-G-S. I said somebody is going to have an opportunity if they can find on my website and around the town of Chicago, if they go to the restaurants and they find North Branch Pizza, if they can call in with a description of what Frings are, that they can get a gift card to go over there. So let's tell people again, our number here is 773-763-9278. And at 2:35, caller number 3 and caller number 7 that has it right, that can describe Frings, what it is, will get a $25 gift card to go to that fabulous place called North Branch Pizza and Burger
on
Lake Avenue. You can't call, Frank. No, you cannot.
Put the phone down. Okay.
Put that phone down. David, I want to thank you. They can go on that website.
JeffAwards.org. And all the information on how to become a Jeff member is there. We also have a section that explains the Jeff Awards in more detail. There's a lot of pictures of our two Jeff Award ceremonies. We have one in the fall for the equity and one in spring for non-equity. They're a fun event. I know you've been to some.
I've been to all.
Your last event was wonderful. Your equity back over at, and I have to admit, I was surprised that I didn't know you were 50 years old.
We were 50 years old this year. It all started in 1969. A group of people in Chicago said, hey, you know, we're doing some good things here. And at the time, there was like maybe 12 theaters in Chicago, you know. And let's honor these theaters. Let's point out the excellence. And it has evolved into 234 plays a year.
You know? I was shocked because I think you were showing pictures from your 10th anniversary, and you had people like Joey Bishop and Ed Sullivan and all these other
Well, the secret to that was S.E. Cupsinet, the wife of Irv Kupcinet, was on the Jeff Committee. And Irv, of course, he was a big name in...
Sometimes. And he had a show later.
He had his own
TV show.
So if you were in town, Irv would call and say, hey, could you go to the Jeff show on Tuesday night? And there they were. Joey Bishop would show up, and there were so many big names.
Nobody ever said no to Irv Kupcinet.
He was very powerful in the city.
Yeah, so,
it was something else. All right, I see that the clock is running down a little bit. I want to thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
And I think maybe now some of our listeners have a little more knowledge of what it is, and maybe some of them will get on their computers. If you really, really, really love theater and you want to get involved, do it, because the people who do it love it. They've learned to love it even more.
Exactly.
Can't ask for any more than that.
All right, thank you, Al.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a little break. And we'll see you on the other side. Does your business need a shot in the arm? Are you branded? Perhaps it's time to call Barry Siegel, the branding specialist, at 847-269-6900 or visit his website at myadgifts.com. Barry will help you find the premium gifts for your clients, develop a program for repeat business while branding yourself and increasing your bottom line. He also offers reward programs for your employees. There are 5 benefits of promotional products for branding. From pens and keychains to shirts and jackets, let your customers see your name everywhere. Barry will get you there with discount pricing. Call him at 847-269-6900. Increase your bottom line starting today. Looking for a reliable and established scrap dealer? Ecology Incorporated has been serving the Chicagoland area since 1974 with 2 recycling facility locations. They offer free pickup service for most items and provide all types of industrial containers and roll-offs. Items they recycle include all metals, copper, aluminum, brass, lead, carbide, iron, and also cardboard, bales of paper, forklift batteries, and truck and auto batteries. To bring your scrap in or request an industrial pickup, check out their websites, lakecountyscrapmetal.com and stcharlesscrap.com. Or just call 1-800-MY-SCRAP. That's 1-800-MY-SCRAP, 1-800-697-2727. Recycling today or tomorrow. And we're back. Just want to say, if you've been reviewing your auto and home insurance year after year, perhaps it's time to get an expert to review what you have. Maybe you need to build a bundle and save a bundle with Dan De La Cruz, a local State Farm agent with offices in Villa Park and in Niles. Dan has been the expert for over 20 years, starting from claims and marketing, seeing that his place is with the consumers. Like a good neighbor, Dan De La Cruz is there for you and your family. Home, auto, life, health. Dan and his staff are there protecting your home, your car, your family. Call him at 630-516-0092 or 847-324-9595. If you stop by, Dan will be at the front desk. He's ready to greet you as you enter the office. My kind of guy, your kind of agent. Well, we're back, and now... We want to thank our guest from Munster, Indiana, who brought us a box of Munster donuts. So we're all excited about that. My wife came down just because she said, oh, Munster donuts are going to be there? Then we're on. They were scheduled erroneously at our very first week, and now they are here because they want to talk to us about something that's going on in Munster, Indiana. They're doing a special presentation of a show that we talked about a little bit at Theater at the Center. They're showcasing the love letters. It's Phil Potemba and Krista. How do you pronounce
Zvonovic.
Zvonovic.
Just do it American style. Ah. We're not going to get all ethnic.
Oh. Oh, and I was all set to open the box and see if there were any kolachkis in there. So we're doing this is an anniversary is what it is, and it's one night, one day.
Yep.
Ah, okay. Sunday, February 3rd, which is right around the corner at 2:30, they are going to be doing love letters. I have seen this done several times. I remember seeing it done with Robert Wagner, and who was
Stephanie Powers
Jill St. John.
No, Jill St. John. It was Jill St. John. And I remember, I think I said to you that I kind of fell in love with Jill St. John, the way she read, the way they looked at each other. And then there was a time when they did it at the Apollo Theater, and I want to say it was a lady that played the mother of Fran, the nanny.
Okay.
The woman that played her mother and her real-life husband, who played a lot
Renee,
of gangsters.
Renee Bologna?
Yeah,
Renee?
Yeah, Joe Bologna.
Joe Bologna and Renee.
And they did it, and I was so surprised to see them because I didn't picture them doing love letters. I pictured them being comedians and doing funny stuff, and they did a fantastic job. So was there a reason that you guys are doing this? The anniversary, is there something that has to do with Munster or Indiana involved with this?
And only one day, too.
Yes. Money.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you all for having us on. It's a charity performance, so it's just the one afternoon performance. And Munster, Indiana, as far as a connection to love letters, my favorite one in my years of writing is the fact that our Indiana claim to fame, Betsy Palmer, if you remember from all those years on I've Got a Secret, right. And she's an East Chicago gal, which Krista is also born and raised in East Chicago. She came back and did a charity performance of it for the Calumet Hospice Region organization. Oh, it's been about maybe 15 years ago. Betsy's has passed about 3 or 4 years ago. And so it worked out so well that about 2 years ago, I had done the same thing as an opportunity to raise money for a local church. So it was a smaller performance. I was teamed with Kate Collins, who's a national romance mystery writer. And we had a great time. And she said, I'll do this anytime you ever want to help raise money. This time, it's for Theater at the Center, which is my second home, as everybody knows. And Theater at the Center is a non-for-profit. And we thought, why not do a performance, raise a little money on an afternoon? Kate is someplace warm in Key West right now, so she was not available. Chris has said, I'll step up to the plate. I'll be a good sport about it. Here you have it. It is the 30th anniversary since Love Letter. It debuted in 1989 on Broadway. And so here we are resurrecting it for one performance.
All right. So you're going to do a scene for us? Are you doing a little scene for us?
Well, you know, we kind of want to save that, I think, for when they come for the actual performance. One of the things I know a couple of people have kind of asked about with love letters is the fact, oh, well, you know, it sounds like it's kind of, you know, a dry performance, because it's a reading. It's two people sitting with music stands in front of them on stage. But as you know, you saw Robert Wagner and Jill St. John. I saw Charlton Heston and his wife Lydia do it at the old Performing Arts Center on Chicago Avenue downtown a few years ago.
I know Ellie McGraw and Ryan O'Neill did it several years ago in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, really?
And they were doing a little tour of the country.
And then when they resurrected it on Broadway just about in 2014, I went out to New York and I saw it. And I saw Brian Dennehy do it with Carol Burnett as the paired duo. And, you know, it's more than a reading, because you bring these characters to life. There is a bit of humor that's sort of infused to it, but also a lot of heartfeltness to the entire experience. So it just sort of lended itself to, of course, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, a good opportunity to raise some money. And a $25 ticket, very, very affordable for a couple hours. And everybody's question is, and Chris is like, oh, is this really happening that day? It's Super Bowl Sunday as well, a week from today. But we promise within 2 hours, you'll be out by 4:30. You'll be home to your guacamole and your nacho cheese dip and tortillas, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, realize this play. You probably do, Al. You're so knowledgeable. But this play actually was nominated for a Pulitzer 30 years ago.
Right.
It was a Broadway hit, and I think that's why it's so beloved, because even though it might be a little dated, the characters start in second grade in 1937 and then go 50 years hence. But, you know, those themes stay the same, of love and relationships and making a match or a mismatch. So
it's the same people. So people at home will understand this. This is the letters go over the years. And as the years progress, their relationship changes a little bit. and as anybody's would, and their relationship and their personalities start to change a little bit. So things happen, and you can see it in the writings and what's been said. So you're not doing a reading for us. So that's okay. I was misinformed on that as well. They said, "Well, they'll do a scene."
We brought the scripts, and we certainly could do that if you really like. I don't know if the audience are like, "Oh, I don't know if it loses something without the facial expressions," but we're certainly happy. And then that's kind of one of the trickier part when it comes to the fine tuning of it. You're starting out with these young people crossing paths in elementary school, then you've got them through middle school, and again. This is starting in the late 1930s, around 1938 is what we kind of suspect, right? So, of course, there's not any texting. There's not any email. The phone is something that you use as a luxury. We laugh at a couple of these scenes. They talk about, well, it's very expensive to pick up the phone. And
right.
I'm 48, and I still remember my mom and dad saying, wait, we're not going to call Aunt Lottie until after 5 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, or on a Sunday when it's a cheaper right. kind of. So right. it does kind of give you a bit of a throwback of a nicer era. And again, you're right, it's these personalities that keep crossing paths, and you wonder, are they ever going to be on the same page, no pun intended, at the same time, to finally get together? And for that, you know, answer to come to you, you have to come in and see it for yourself as it unfolds.
I wonder if somebody's going to try and modernize it. Move it up to a different era, but keep the same text.
Well, it'd be hard because everybody have to stand there with a phone. And
right. it might be called love text.
Yeah, love text.
Love text. There we go. How deep is your thumb?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't thumb it.
Well, you know, it's funny because the young people today, when you talk about some of the things, like I was looking, one of the plays I was at, they had a typewriter, and the people sitting behind me, I think there was probably 12, 13 years old. And we said, what is that? And the mother said, that's a keyboard without the computer. She was trying to explain it. So even when I told him I was in the Yellow Page business for all those years, he said, oh, you mean Google on paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how they think differently than we do. Their whole lives, you know, to see a phone that you have to put money in to make a phone call would just mind-boggle for them. I mean, how...
Well, and I feel the same way. I'm a dinosaur, and yet even I am so used to now just grabbing my phone and Googling, or I don't even... I got kind of a Yellow Pages from my town in the mail the other day, and it was like, I just pitched it. It's like, I'm not going to ever look anything up.
Don't tell that to Al.
And then I feel bad.
I'm not in that business anymore. No, don't worry about that.
And I feel bad, because something useful in there, but, you know...
Well, I think there's two companies left that do, and they even are just barely surviving. I think one time there was a... when you had a phone company that was much smaller, local, the phone company contract said you had to provide the phone numbers because they started to charge for information.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you don't want to charge everybody if they don't have a number, you have to put the number in their home. You have to make it available to them. So that's part of what happened with that. And I know Donnelly had the contract for years and years, and now I believe even they don't have it. There's no white page book. Used to be, if you went into to visit somebody at a certain time of year, there'd be a phone book just sitting on the driveway or sitting in the hallway of the high rises. They'd be like, for 1 week, they put 1,000 phone books out there. One guy would pick his up, and everybody else, it would go in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Recycling. Younger, traveling, and any city I went to, I'd look up my last name to see if there's any weird, wayward Serbian people, and we'd look up all kinds of things. But that's kind of why I think this play is so charming, because it does come into the 80s, at least, so it's not so foreign. But there's kind of a charm in thinking about the way people lived in the 30s, and it takes you through the war and then the post-war and then his career in law and her career as an artist. And there's really a great charm about it in a way.
I think, used to tell me, well, it's a reading. I mean, am I going to get bored? I have to admit, the first time I saw it, I just loved it. Went so quickly, and because the way those characters were and the way their expressions were and the way they put you into it, I loved it. And then the second, I went back again and took my mother, who was starting to have a little Alzheimer's at the time. She loved it. Yeah. So it was a wonderful show that's done right.
I do think it's key with the pairing. And for the listeners that are here, we're up north side. Our kind of Indiana claim to fame is my years as a newspaper columnist for The Times originally, which is where Krista's still working in the newsroom. Now I've shifted over to the Post Tribune, which is underneath the Chicago Tribune leadership and umbrella. And so it's kind of fun to put two kind of, we say, rival newspaper newsroom people together in the same room and then have them kind of take this piece to kind of, again, another level where, again, we have some chemistry for having worked together. Krista was my assigning features editor for a number of years. And our big kind of joke is right now there's a touring production that's out on the road, and they've asked about booking it at the Performing Arts Center in Munster. And our kick to this is that the stars are Barbara Eden and Hal Linden are the two
that are paired up.
And so,
Barney Miller
and Jeannie from TV Fame.
Wow. Does she come out of a bottle?
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say, but, and Al, you probably remember. Again, I think it was at that. I think it was at the Performing Arts Center as well. Do you remember when Barbara Eden came in the female version of The Odd Couple years ago?
Yes, I do.
I can't remember who she was teamed with as the sloppy one. She was the Felix type character, right. But Barbara gets around a little bit, and she looks fantastic at her age, too.
I'm sure she's had a little bit of work over the years.
Genie magic.
The genie magic that she did. It's a fun experience to see the show. And you people who are going to see it, don't think of it as just something to listen to. You have to watch the people, because as readers, it's not just reading. When somebody does a reading, there's a same amount of emotion as if they were acting. 9 times out of 10, after they've done the reading a number of times, they don't really look at the script anymore. They kind of know what they're saying. They know what's going on.
Well, what?
They're looking at each other. They're playing off of each other. It's a love story in a way that's a little different than most love stories, but it's one that you can get involved with. You can feel it. And as it progresses, you feel it more. You start to feel like that could be somebody you know. That could be somebody whose life touched your life or might touch your life.
Does Theater in the Center still do brunch on Sundays?
Oh, that's another advantage to this. Yeah, it's on a Sunday at 2:30 is our performance. Again, a week from today, February the 3rd. And every Sunday they have that wonderful champagne brunch where you can indulge. And it's as much champagne or mimosas. You can name your own liking. And again, they roll out quite a spread. And you always have to save room for that dessert landscape because it's just, it's unmatched. So, yeah, that's another advantage. You can add that to the $25 ticket, make it a package deal. And, yeah, it's really, it's out of this world. Al is usually pretty hard to stump because he's always in the theater seat, and he's been there longer in the theater seat than a lot of people that I know. But when this first opened up off-Broadway, A.R. Gurney, the author, he himself performed it, and he performed it opposite actress, and I'm trying to think her name, Holland. She's from Two and a Half Men. Oh. She plays Charlie's mother.
Holland Taylor,
yeah. Exactly. And right. We saw her play Ann Richards, remember, on the Broadway tour as a one-woman show. And so she was the first woman to ever step into that role of the snooty, your character.
Yeah, oh, Melissa.
Melissa Gardner.
You know, Al, you're so astute. I mean, you've been, you know, reviewing plays for a long time. So what you said a little earlier really touched me, too, when Phil and I started rehearsing it. Now we have Linda Fortunato, who is helping us out, and she's so gracious and so talented. And she really has been giving us some good tips because I said, you know, Phil and I are both good readers, but that can sound so phony. Like, how do we get past that and really sort of embody the character? So she gave us some tips about it. And it really is sort of read it as though you are writing it at that age. And it really did help us. And I feel like we've improved. And neither of us is a professional actor, but that really helped us embody the characters.
It's very important for anybody to read. I even do it at High Holidays at our temple. When I do a reading every year, they invite me up to do a reading. And when I do it, I always look at it as if this was my audition. If I was auditioning to be in a major part, because then I don't just read the words, I put the strength and emphasis where it belongs. I go up and down, and I don't just have a monotone.
And you pace yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And I make it so that everybody who's sitting in that audience, there's usually like 1,000 people at our High Holidays, I want them all to come up to me and say, what a great job. What a great reading. Everybody does it, but in my mind, they're doing it. Because in my mind, that was the best reading ever. All right, are we ready to do our frings? All right, frings.
773-763-9278. We're waiting for your phone call, 773-763-9278. And what are you looking for again, Al?
What did we say? Number
three. Number three.
Number three. And then we're going to take number seven?
Yeah, three and seven.
Three and seven are our numbers.
Number seven. So you hear that, everybody? 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. And what will they win?
They will win a $25 gift card to enjoy at North Branch Pizza and Burger up in wonderful Glenview on Lake Avenue. What a burger they have.
Sounds delicious.
How is the ride in from Indiana? Is there a lot of snow up there?
Well,
most of it's on its way.
It's on its way. What's going to happen tonight? Right now, it's on the ground and the roads are dry, so that's good.
For all those who just tuned in, what again are you looking for, Al, to win this?
They're looking at the definition of the word frings, F-R-I-N-G-S. They can find it. It's at North Branch, which is reviewed on AroundTheTownChicago.com.
All right, so we're
Phil, you can't call in.
So we're waiting. Burger, you had me at burger. Okay. You know.
I tried to do that also, and he caught me.
We're waiting for your call at 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278, caller number three, and caller number seven. If you know the definition of frings, you're going to get that gift certificate. So we're waiting for your call.
Okay. Meantime, so how do they get the tickets again?
Okay. All right. It's one exclusive performance to Love Letters. It's that fantastic. It's a stage performance, so I think you're right. Better than just a reading. It happens a week from today, February the 3rd. That's a Sunday afternoon, 2:30. One performance only. Myself, Phil Patumpa, in the one role opposite Chris Zivanovic, Northwest Indiana features editor, and also she has a part in the newsroom operations as well. And call the box office would be 219-836-3255, or of course, just hop on the web. The website, www.theater, and that's theater with a T and then a capital T and then ending in RE. So theater@thecenter.com. So just remember, when doing theater, add it as an RE at thecenter.com. $25, one performance only. Benefits a great cause. Benefits Theater at the Center, with not-for-profit that brings you all the best in Broadway professional theater with our equity cast. And Million Dollar Quartet is coming up right around the corner. So lots of great offerings. Consider this kind of the appetizer to what's just around the corner.
Here we are, Million Dollar Quartetting ourselves. We were talking earlier. We just saw it at Marriott the other night.
Yeah.
And it's being done in Rockford with Peter Oyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
There. He's doing Johnny Cash. And then they're going to be going to the Athenaeum with another version. So
I was always wondering, do the theaters ever talk to one another when there's? I know you schedule at least 2 years in advance, one to two years.
Question.
Do they ever communicate?
Well,
and say,
we certainly do, and the licensing houses are the ones that really ones that are remiss when it comes to booking something in a major house, which Theater of the Center does rank right there with a Marriott or a Drury Lane, really within the radius of the contract. They shouldn't have granted both of these to be the same run, overlapping at the same time. Now, it's still quite a bit of landscaping distance in between, but when it comes to group sales and those buses, and they have the choice of going maybe Marriott to a resort or coming down to Theater at the Center, that's a toss-up. Single ticket sales, we know that folks will probably stick more to our geography down that way. But, yeah, they really should. The licensing houses in New York are the ones that have to really kind of watch that. And in this case, they have admitted themselves that they shouldn't have booked both these at the same time. Boy, Peter, he is such a phenomenal.
But
remember in Hank Williams, he did that?
I absolutely remember.
Love that.
Yeah. And I talked to him about 3 weeks ago about bringing that one back again. And I think he's trying. The problem is he keeps going to the Athenaeum and talking with them. I don't like that theater. I don't like that facility. I'm not comfortable there. My wife won't go at all. Jane says, there's no way I'm going. That building doesn't want any part of it. It's just not comfortable. And the theater upstairs, you have to almost sit a row behind where you want to be to put your feet.
It feels like my old high school that was built in the 1900s.
Yeah.
I like it, but it does have a different feel.
It's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to spend 2 hours sitting in those seats.
And
when you were 8 years old, they were comfy. You know, at 8 years old, they were very comfy. Yeah. But now they're not. They're not at all.
And they keep trying to remodel and modernize it a little bit. They added in the cafe and stuff. And they did a little bit downstairs, because I know about a year ago. I like it for the history.
The main floor theater, the big theater, is fine.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that one.
It's the upstairs.
It's the upstairs
and
studios.
There's three of them upstairs.
Yeah, and they get smaller and smaller. It's like you feel like you're going into the Big Bad Wolf situation. You know,
yeah.
I've got this one is bigger than the next one. And everyone you walk into, you just feel uncomfortable. You want to get out.
They probably thought, well, if people go to the Den, which holds 30 people, and Red Twist and stuff.
Well, you can go to those theaters as long as your seat is comfortable. As long as you're sitting there, you feel comfortable with it. So as you feel like I'm squeezed in, or in fact, we had a thing at Marriott that one of the shows we went to, we had some people sitting next to us where the man should have two chairs, not one. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything about it. Right. It's like this thing that happened on the airplane last week. It's just a problem that if people are oversized and if they try to squeeze more chairs in, it makes it difficult. And if it's a built-in seat that's a permanent seat, that's fine. When they start with card chairs or these chairs that are movable and one is on top of the other and the person who sits in that chair really needs two, guess what happens to you?
Yep.
but that's what I have to say about Theater in the Center. I love the seating there.
Look at that.
And there is no bad seats
okay,
in
that
theater.
Okay, we got a caller?
Oh, we got a caller.
Absolutely, right, so. We do. We're going to find out what frings means. We're going to go to Peggy first.
Hi, Peggy. You're on the air.
Oh.
Tell us what frings are.
I learned that it's a mobile internet community.
Is that correct? A mobile internet community?
No. In the word frings, in the menu of the restaurant.
Oh.
North Branch and Pizza. That's why I said to look at the website.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay.
She Googled.
All right, Peggy. We'll throw her back on hold. Maybe she'll find it. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if Patrick knows.
Patrick.
You guys just gave me a clue. It's talking about a restaurant. Is it the Lone Fry and a Basket of Onion Rings?
Well, it's North Branch, and you're close with that. You're very, very close.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, actually, it is onion rings. They're deep battered onion rings, and they're it's combination with hand cut fries. So we're gonna make you a winner, Patrick. You're gonna be a winner. So, we need you off the air. We'll get your address and everything. We'll send you a gift card. Okay, awesome. It's $25, and it'll tell you all about the restaurant. Okay.
Hey,
all right. Great. So don't go anywhere. Yeah. Give the information to our producer.
I'm gonna throw you on hold, Patrick. Right. Hang tight, boss.
All right, we're going back to Peggy.
Let's see if Peggy knows.
Let's see if Peggy found it. Peggy, did you look it up?
I learned that it's onion rings with hand-cut fries.
You got it. All right. Yay for Peggy. Okay. Stay on the line. We're going to get your information, and we'll put it in the mail. We'll get you the card right away so you can go enjoy some of those frings.
Wow. Thank you.
No problem at all. It's a really great restaurant. It's like an old-fashioned bar and grill, but they have unbelievable burgers there. They have pizza. They have burgers. But their burgers, they have one that has brisket on. It's called the Hillbilly, and it's got brisket, it's got a burger, it's got onion rings, it's got a pickle on the top that is, how do you call that pickle? It's like they deep fry it.
Oh.
And it's like really, really good.
Is this a heart attack on a plate?
This is, my cardiologist said you can go once a year.
I want to know how your cardiologist approved this.
Once a year, that's it.
I was going to say, if we were all older, though, I would compare this to what my mom and dad would call a Dagwood sandwich. Remember in the Sunday Funnies?
I remember.
Dagwood would stack it with everything with the kitchen sink on there.
Yeah, they had all these things in the fridge, and he'd open the fridge and start building that sandwich. Yeah, that was Blondie.
I need to talk to your cardiologist, you know.
he's pretty good about it. I tell him what I'm doing on that, and I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I have still one more week left, and 1 week of the day, I'm in cardio rehab, and I'm doing well with it. I'm hitting numbers that I didn't think I could do on the treadmill and all that stuff. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, I was surprised. We went out to dinner two weeks ago, and I thought you were going to order something really good, and your wife's here, so I'm going to be honest. All he ordered was a salad for dinner, a nice Caesar salad. Yeah. So,
I watch myself now. I do watch it because, you know, I enjoy what I do, and I want to be around to do it longer. I'm trying to plan my 100th birthday party right now. And you're all invited, so
all
we'll
right.
make sure. Okay.
Marking our calendar.
You know, Frank Sinatra had a great line that he used to say to people. He said, "May you live to be 100, and may the last voice you hear be mine."
Oh, that is one. I like that.
But I'm glad that you came because Theater in the Center is one of my favorites. And people, it's only a 40-minute drive.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the beauty of Munster. Munster Donuts, which they, you at home aren't going to be able to do this, but we are going to finish this show, and we are going to go into the green room, and we are going to partake of a Munster Donut, right?
Well, and if they do the trek next Sunday, they can stop right there. It's open 24 hours and get their own stash.
And I just want to make a real quick plug and say that it is professional theater. It's professional equity theater. It's not some cute down-home community theater. Not that there's anything wrong with those either, but you will see a lot of noted Chicago actors on the stage quite often.
Majority of people that actually perform at your theater are from Illinois,
yes,
and
they make
that trek out there.
It's the same people that we see at Mary Lane, at Marriott. It's the same actors.
Yep.
It's a place to work. And let's face it, actors want to work. They want to act. Mm-hmm. The community, I would say that it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the south suburbs, of course, are right there.
And free parking. It's so easy peasy. There's just no reason not to check it out.
And the gas prices are usually lower.
Fill up your tank while you're there.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, I used to do that all the time. Make it to Indiana, get the gas, but it's usually 30 cents a gallon cheaper, and then fill up on other stuff. Yep. But I always tell my friends, go there, because it's not a bad thing about Broadway in Chicago, but it's expensive theater in Chicago when you can see almost the same quality.
It's really
as
good
you
production
can.
Values. Yes. Right. It really is.
And
yeah.
I've never, ever had a bad show at Theater in the Center. And I've been to maybe 30 shows, 30, 40.
And they also have on the premises, besides the little gift shop, but they also have a little back, like almost like a museum, art gallery.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And they have different things. A couple of years back, they had a rock and roll museum thing there that I did a little story about, and they're planning to build one in the city of Chicago eventually. But they had all these great old things there that were just mind-boggling.
They have a great exhibit there right now, and they're very aggressive about getting National Endowment for the Arts grants and things. They're really, they have their act together there.
It's always been a beautiful place. I used to live in Schererville, so I remember when it first opened.
I knew it.
Plus, I used to go to church right next door. You actually, you probably don't realize that you have a monastery right next door, a cloister monastery. So,
oh, really?
Yes, right.
You
next
were at
a
monastery?
No, but I would go on Sundays.
Oh, oh.
You know, I could not keep my mouth closed. They would never pick me up.
That's for sure. So I'm looking forward to to hearing how you do with this, and I don't think we're going to be able to make it up there.
Because I have a show to do.
That's right. You'll be set in front and center.
Yeah. I believe, though, that they said they're going to probably make a tape of it for posterity. So I would like to see it afterwards.
Thank you.
It would be my pleasure to see it, and I'll give you my review.
We're counting on it.
Okay.
But, no, don't worry that it's Super Bowl Sunday. You're going to be home in time. Because Al and I once, 4 or 5 years ago, we did Super Bowl at Marriott.
Right.
We saw a play there, and you know what? People that they filled up that theater even on a Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't as excited when your team's not in it either.
Yes, so, true.
Yeah, our team is kicked out of it.
Yes, big time.
Literally, huh?
Literally.
All right, so we've got a lot of shows this week, and I can't wait till next week to be able to talk about some of these shows. We're going to be coming up very shortly. We're going to be doing some things that are a little different. We're going to do some remotes where we're going to do some restaurants where we're actually going to dine at the restaurants. And I'll fill you next week on one that I think is coming up where you'll be able to join us, spend some time with us at the restaurant, enjoy the food, and get a discount as well. So it sounds like some things that we're going to go along. I'm looking forward to it. I know Frank's looking forward to it.
Do you have any plays
he's got
this
his
week
bib,
for you?
He's got his knife. He's got his fork. He's all ready to start chewing.
I'll be there. Do you have any shows this week? I'm looking at going to Northlight.
Right. We have Northlight this week, and I think there's a few others. And I just went. I did see the Cardboard Piano yesterday. My review will be up by a little late tonight. At around the town of Chicago. There's a lot of reviews coming up, a lot of things happening, and I'm looking forward to doing this again next week.
Right. And if you get a chance, go see Us and Them at Shakespeare Theater.
Right. And we'll see you at the theater.